a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And Frank T. Biscuit.
Episode 66.
Ooh.
Three away.
Execute order.
Three away from what?
66.
Don't tell me you're going to do a 69 joke when we get to 69.
Hell yeah.
Okay, first off, it's
y'all are going to go one way, and then
first off,
he's going to go another way, and
first
then
off, we're not
stay here and go, what?
First off, we're not 12. And second, I guessed...
Wait.
My guest appearance on our friend's Metal Geeks podcast, and it was episode 69. And the joke was already used from Bill and Ted on that episode. See, so technically George and Carrie used it, so it has to be better than that.
Just because they beat us to a 69 doesn't mean we can't enjoy our 69.
Enjoying any 69 with you, motherfucker.
isn't 69, haven't the taxes gone up, so now it's like 96 or something? That could be the joke? No?
No, it could be like a 96.2.
96.2? How about 71? It's 69 with two fingers up your ass.
So
that's you. That is totally you.
So this is episode 66 of the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Find that's just us cuddling, isn't it? 66? Isn't that just snuggling?
The Rebel Radio Podcast is found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Go there for all your needs. That's where you find us. Nowhere else. TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. But if you're listening just for the podcast, we're on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Plenty of places to find our show. So,
shitload of places.
And leave us a review on any of those. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. We'd really appreciate it. We've gotten some reviews on iTunes, but we need more because we're greedy motherfuckers. No, not really. Just reviews really help. It helps us get into the search engines of iTunes, and we really appreciate it.
Let everyone know how you feel.
So anything going on with you guys lately? I've got a slightly funny story to tell. I can go first if that's needed.
Okay. Oh, I got one, but I don't know if it's appropriate for Aaron.
Probably isn't. No,
it probably
idea.
Isn't, Frank.
So. No, it's coming out of Frank's mouth.
I might.
But this is kind of weird, and I had a dream, okay? And I think it's because I was watching the new 24 Legacy, and it's like, you know, fighting terrorists and stuff, right? And then I had this dream, right? And I'm like just sitting there chilling, like I'm on my phone or whatever. And Matt, you run in the room, and you're like, well, we gotta go. And you have like this Jack Bauer bag on you and all this, and you're toting a gun. You're like, they're after me. And I'm like, what? So, and of course, in a dream, you're always skinny, right? You're never fat in your dream, okay? You know, because that's just the way it works. So I run with you, and all of a sudden, you're like, get down, and you're shooting behind me. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? You're like, I just need your help. I'm like, what do you need my help for? It's like, because you can do things on computers. So we like, we hack a computer or something, and you go, I got the information I need, but you have to stay with me because they're gonna be after you now. And then like the dream ended.
What?
It was weird. I was like, I was gonna tell you. I was
you
like,
woke
man.
Up and you're like,
I told Mary
around.
And she's like, what? You have to tell Matt that. That's funny. It's like, I don't know why you were the dream. It's the terrorist fighter.
I could totally see where you got but, that from because I could totally see Matt with a man purse.
Nice. Nice.
Matt, when Mark dreams, do you think he dreams like a dog and gets that one leg twitching? You know,
maybe since he was running, he was
maybe so. So that's my slightly funny story, and we were fighting terrorists in a dream, Matt, or
that's
something.
That's awesome. And I was totally left out. Sad.
Well,
but that's good because I'm just glad I'm not in Mark's dreams. Because I would hate to see where those go.
No, we call those nightmares, Frank.
So that's, you and I call nightmares. Mark calls them fantasy.
That's my funny story. Do we dare ask Frank to tell his story?
Oh, man.
Nah, I'm not going to tell my story.
I mean, it can't be worse than the last episode. You ended with the man's penis story.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like all the same premises. I'm not going to name names or exactly the go into details, but another person notified me about another person who said that they only known this person for a couple of days, and it felt like they'd known him 10 years, and they were leaving with a ride, and the guy is gay, and he turns to the girl and goes, I'm going to slip this bitch some Xanax and fuck the hell out of her husband.
What?
And that's what I spent the rest of the day going, what? And just like the rest of the day, what? Like, what?
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get into the show. I'm not sure what that meant, but...
Here on the Rebel Radio Show, we are diverse. We are diverse on the radio show.
So we're going to be talking. I know 2 weeks ago we told people we were going to do a whole episode about Wolverine's greatest moments and everything, and then the next episode was going to be Logan. But last week, things happened. We weren't able to record. So we're going to kind of mix the two today and get into some Wolverine. And we all three saw Logan. And before we do that, a couple of quick new trailers hit. Alien Covenant.
Yes.
Okay. Man, you know, I like Prometheus a little more than some people did. I thought it was an interesting idea to see how the aliens were formed. But it wasn't the Alien movie I wanted in a prequel. Alien Covenant's looking like that movie that we wanted in a prequel.
Well, the reason why I liked Prometheus is because it wasn't an Alien movie. But it gave you background leading into it. And then, like, in that trailer, I liked the fact that they showed one of the ships that you saw in Prometheus.
Well, right. I get what you're saying. But, like, I get the vibe I'm getting a little bit from Alien Covenant is, like, it's going to be more of an Alien movie that leads into the Scorny Weaver original. Right. Well, I guess there's going to be one.
Hold on.
I guess there's going to be one more before the Alien, before it leads directly to Alien. I guess Ridley Scott plans this as a trilogy. And I get this feeling that after this film and the next one, like maybe Prometheus won't really mean anything in the end. Like it was just sort of there.
Kind of like the first Hulk movie.
Yeah. That's just kind of the vibe I'm getting from it. You know, I guess we'll see how it all flows together.
Now, I'm assuming because it looks like a smaller ship, if this was a ship that last surviving chick or lady from Prometheus, I wonder if that's her ship and she crashed on that planet.
Well, it could be because I think the actress' name was Mara Rooney. She's in the film, even though we don't see her in the trailer. She's on the IMDb cast list and stuff. So
okay.
It looks like they were scouting.
In it somewhere.
Well, that's all couples from what I'm getting. It's all married couples, like about, what, four or six of them? Yeah, or somewhere in that name, between four and six?
With an android.
All again. Couples that were sent there to colonize this planet.
Right.
And then when they get there, they realize that it's much like Earth. There's even wheat and stuff from Earth there, but yet there's no animals from what they could tell in the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no sound.
Wow, did you watch the trailer? You must have, because that's what they tell you.
Yeah. No, I think that's cool. You know that, you know, it's kind of creepy, but can you imagine being out in the wilderness and like hear like nothing?
Well, there were, you know, wades of wheat.
Wheat. Yeah. That'd be a whole other story.
I mean,
the aliens are coming. I don't give a fuck.
One thing about Ridley Scott as a director is it's going to look fantastic. Ridley hires some of the best cinematographers. Whether it's Gladiator, Blade Runner, mm-hmm. even a movie like Body of Lies he did, which is an action film with Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe, his films look fantastic. I mean, Ridley hires some of the best cinematographers in the world. And that's one thing I liked about Prometheus. It looked amazing. And Alien Covenant looks amazing. And I think it'll be a good Alien film. Because let's face it, Ridley Scott doesn't make a lot of crap. No. He's like Spielberg. His films are pretty solid.
Yeah, you know? Consistent.
Yeah, I still haven't seen The Martian. I want to. I've heard it's really good. Yeah, you know, and for me, to go this long without seeing a Ridley Scott film is rare. Usually, I see his films unless they're just something I completely
seriously. You haven't seen The Martian as long as it's been out.
I just haven't sat down to watch it.
So you haven't gotten on your computer and like, oh, where can I download this crap from?
I mean, I could. I just haven't.
I haven't either.
Done it. You know, I'll watch it eventually.
I mean, like, didn't Matt watch Wolverine or Logan?
I watched half of it again before I came over here.
The other trailer that came out was the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, which strangely in my screening of Logan, they didn't show it.
I didn't get that either.
I've heard a lot of people did get it, but you know, I watched it online.
I got Deadpool.
Well, that's hold up. We're getting to that in a minute. I'll jump the gun. You know, Guardians, again, it's very similar to Part 1 for me. When I saw the trailers for Guardians of the Galaxy 1, they didn't do a lot for me, and of course the movie turned out great. And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting with the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I'm like, yeah, the trailers, they look good, but like I'm not like pumped, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to turn out fine. I actually like the first trailer better than this new trailer. I like the banter at the end where he's like, oh, do me, you know? I thought that was really funny.
That's very Guardians.
And Groot, like, going to hit the button, you know? That was funny. But I know Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is going to turn out really awesome. And it's just the trailers just don't blow me away. But I've kind of gotten like that with a lot of these Marvel films. The Marvel Studios films. Because it's almost like we know what to expect from them. Mm-hmm. And none of them have done anything to break the mold of what we're getting from Marvel Studios, if that makes sense. So that's kind of how I feel about Guardians. You know,
you're right. I think... I think the film's going to feel like a continuation. Like, I don't think... I think even when we see it, we're going to find it enjoying. But I think it's going to stick to the same script. And, you know, we'll still be entertained by it. We'll still find it funny. We'll still find it action-packed. But, you know, they set... I feel like they set the bar so high the first time, I wouldn't expect
anything better. I'm excited for Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
You know, I love Kurt Russell.
But, you know, talking about the Marvel Studio movies, it's kind of like, for the most part, getting a piece of cake or a piece of pie from your favorite place. You know it's going to be good. It's never going to be something new and exciting. It's never going to blow you away all of a sudden. Like, oh, this is my 50th slice. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, it's different. It's like incredible.
And that's...
It's the same piece of
recipe. And that's my thing.
Recipe.
Like, with Winter Soldier, I felt like with the destruction of S.H.I.E.L.D., we got something new and exciting, right?
Yeah.
And then they kind of, in a roundabout way, made it all soft and happy again with Civil War. I really wanted, as I've told y'all before on the show,
a little darker.
I really wanted Civil War to end in a dark place. But then Tony gets his letter like, I'm there for you, bro. And it's all happy and good again. And it's just like Marvel just is afraid to take that darker step that, I hate to say this, the DC films have already taken with only two or three films. They've taken a little bit darker tone. And Marvel just wants to be that colorful universe. They're so afraid to be dark.
Well, it's Disney.
And will we ever... Yeah, yeah. But even that's not an excuse, I think. You know? Look, I think you can go darker.
That's why they couldn't end Rogue One with them just dying on the planet. It had to end with them passing on
That to end. But, you know, and that's my thing. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, but I still enjoy the Marvel Studio films for what they were. And did y'all know Sylvester Stallone is in Guardians 2?
What?
Yeah, he has, like, a small part in it.
Nah, I didn't catch that.
I didn't even know. Awesome. Yeah, Sylvester Stallone has a small part in it. Like, he just wanted to do a Marvel film.
So. Yo, Groot! Yo, Groot, what's up?
Me and Drax go way back. Yeah, I know. I can't do the Stallone voice, but.
Groot!
So, the other thing people are talking about, as Frank T. Biscuit likes to do often, almost jumps the gun.
Well, we don't get here with a laid out plan of order of what we're talking
is
about.
The Deadpool, I wouldn't even call this a trailer. I think it's more of a short film. That's what even online they're calling it a short film now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm anti-Deadpool and the rest of the world. I thought it was stupid.
What?
His ass, it's like, it's...
But it's Deadpool. It's supposed to be stupid.
And that's my problem. Yeah. It's to the point where he's overly obnoxious. You know, there's
he's being himself.
I like the character to an extent. Like, I enjoy the action scenes in the first film, but I'm just like, it was just dumb. Okay?
You know, I don't think Mark gets Deadpool.
No, I do get Deadpool, but I'm just like, so you, this poor man dies for no reason because you want to do a stupid slow motion scene where we see your ass and the Superman music playing, and I'm just like, I wasn't like that.
You didn't see the Logan poster in the background?
Yeah, I got all the little tricks and the Firefly and Nathan Summers coming soon. I don't know if they're trying to hint. There's been rumors they're hinting that Nathan Fillion's going to play Cable. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You know, it also could have been a nod to Fox as like, you know, Firefly, y'all screwed it over. It didn't work. But look, Deadpool worked. So that could take two meanings, you know, that.
Yeah.
That, well, I wouldn't say Firefly didn't work. It's just Fox didn't give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have a double meaning there. I didn't see the point. The whole thing was just kind of obnoxiously dumb. You know, if you're really going to be a hero, why didn't Deadpool just go over there and knock the guy out with a gun? See, that's
because he has to do it in his costume and style.
To the Superman
theme.
He even
makes a crack to the whole thing. Maybe he should have worn his costume and not changing the damn booth. That was the whole point. Mm-hmm. It was like... Because he took so long to change is why the poor guy was dead.
It was mildly funny where he's like, why is there a phone booth in the middle of nowhere? Okay, that was funny.
Did they go out like a 98 or 99 or something like that, whatever it was. Here.
And then the only difference in the extended version is the little Stan Lee comes out at the end, huh? I think that's the only difference.
Yeah, I didn't see Stan Lee.
Yeah, he's not in the film. He's not in the version of Aaron Theater. It's just a slightly extended version online where Stan Lee comes out at the end. He's like, fuck you, Stan Lee, or something like that. Or fuck off, or, you know, some Deadpool comment.
They need to do Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe as a storyline.
Well, I mean, you know, I just hope Deadpool 2 is a little more, when they get around to filming, because obviously this isn't really, everyone's calling this a Deadpool teaser. It's not really a teaser for part 2, because they haven't even started filming. It's just a short movie.
Not even part of the film.
They're going to take what they did in Deadpool and then crank it up to 11 to see what they can get away with.
I think it's also going to be more of the same. You know,
it's going to be more of the same, but cranked up just to see how much more they can get
better,
away
better
with.
Have a better villain than Ajax. And then, like I said, my favorite part of Deadpool 1 is a fully realized Colossus. Something I've been waiting for on screen for years, and I finally got it, and I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I don't hate Deadpool, but it's middle of the road for me as far as comic movies. I don't think it's top 10 film. Yeah, I think I can think of 10 better comic book movies than Deadpool.
He says Daredevil. He says Daredevil is better.
I never said Daredevil is better.
He did. I heard him.
The Daredevil TV show, maybe, but not the Ben Affleck Daredevil.
Daredevil's better.
No.
With Ben Affleck. I love Ben Affleck. That was Mark.
Ben's so hot.
I know I never said that. So, all right. Before we get heavy into Logan talks, we have a lot to say about it. Frank, it was your turn to pick a topic for Face Off. Do you have a topic? Are you prepared?
No, because I totally forgot about it because we didn't do a show last week.
Motherfucker. Man.
Ooh. Okay.
You were the winner last time, so you're supposed to pick a topic for Face Off.
Okay. Here we go.
Cass. You want to take his face?
Yes. His face.
Well, remind our listeners, the rules are, you say the topic, wherever the verse is, and whoever picks the first one gets to go first. They get a couple minutes to defend why they win.
So whoever says their name first gets to pick
it? No, whoever chooses the topic first. And you have to let him say both topics before you blurt out, Matt.
Okay.
If you want, say go.
Okay. Hang on. At her fullest hype, strength, and capabilities, X-23 or Wolverine, a.k.a. Logan, at his hype and full capabilities.
Wolverine.
In a fight.
He didn't say go. Okay, but he said both names are. X-23. All right. So you chose first.
You were the loser last time, so you go first.
Oh, okay. So X-23, she learns under Logan until he dies in the comics. She was first introduced in the little high school series X-Men Unleashed, X-Men
Evolution.
Whatever, Evolution. She has an extra set of claws, and it's for defense. So you can argue that her defense is better than Logan's. Logan doesn't have that extra set of claws. And even Xavier alludes to how she's a better defensively than Logan because of the feet that protrude from her feet, comparing her to a lioness, a female lioness, and how she protects her cub and Logan. So I would say that her defense is greater than Logan's. And even though Logan has probably lived longer, the female version seems to be improved from what I've read in the comics. And defense wins championships. Offense sells tickets, if we're talking football. So I'm going to go with good defense, extra set of claws, and she's friggin' fast as hell. I don't know if Logan can keep up with that while he's puffing on a cigar and saying bub all the time. I mean, doesn't he have to say that?
I don't know.
Okay, so I think that I think you never change the original. The original is always going to be the best, and she's simply a clone, which means there's going to be imperfections to her. Wolverine can fight with his ferocity, his feralness, which are kind of the same thing. His experience. He's been around since the late 1840s, been through several wars, combat veteran, knows how to do things to win in a fight. He's a skilled soldier, a skilled technician's the right word, but a tactical person. He's going to know how to outsmart her. He's going to know how to beat her. Same, very similar to how he beat the Hulk in Frank's storyline last week of Face Off. Is just his pure just age and experience. That's what I'm looking for. Is going to find a way to beat this young girl, even at her height, because nothing beats the original. The original is always going to be better than a clone, as we saw in the Logan film. In some ways, you know, yeah, maybe he wasn't as height in this film, but I think that he would have found a way somehow if he wasn't all beat up. I would have loved to have seen a fight in the movie, which we'll talk about a little bit, between Logan and his clone, where Logan wasn't all tired and beat up, you know. That would have been an awesome fight. But I think Wolverine, just experience alone and the fact that he's been around so long and his tactical abilities as a soldier and everything that he's been through would find a way to beat her in some way, because the original is always going to be the best.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to give it to Mark.
That's 0 for 2, bitch!
Yeah. It's not that you didn't make a good argument for her.
It was the best argument I could have made.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying. You made the best. You were kind of already on the losing end.
Yeah, I know. I chose the underdog.
Right? Well, you kind of like jumped the gun a little too late.
Yeah, I know.
So next week I have to...
I was waiting for the word go.
So I did say when he said both things. So next week I have to come up with one that doesn't have Wolverine for a third week in a row.
Right. So,
2 weeks with Wolverine.
All right. So let's get into talking about Logan and Wolverine and just the character himself and the history of where he's been. And Hugh Jackman, of course, and his legacy as a character. First off, my initial thoughts on Logan when I walked out of the theater was like, man, it was kind of strange. In y'all's screening, was it kind of quiet afterwards? Almost like watching to compare this to American Sniper, like a war film, but it was kind of like that. Like, you know, people were kind of like respectful.
Actually, Mark's first thoughts before leaving the screen was, here, let me dry up my tears because I've been over here bawling in the corner. Yeah, he cried like a bitch, I bet.
No, actually, I didn't, but okay.
Yeah, he probably did. A little
bit. No, I really didn't, actually.
No. People were quiet. People were quiet. I left sad. I will say that I left sad. I felt like I had watched a good movie, but that I was also, you know, sad because I knew that we would no longer see Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine deep down. Who knows? Hopefully I'm wrong on that. Maybe he'll make at least a cameo.
I think he's pretty much said he was done. You know,
he is a little old to be beefing up.
Even Patrick Stewart said he was done.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Hugh Jackman's played his character for 17 years, and one thing I feel and I was listening to Matinee Heroes, you know, which is Craig's new show, and they said the same thing. Is like, I never felt that Hugh Jackman ever that this was just a paycheck job for him. If you go watch the 10 films he was in as Wolverine, he always gave 110%.
Yeah.
He never cashed it in. And I don't always get that from the Marvel Studio films. Sometimes those guys feel like they're going through the motions. Where Hugh Jackman always gave it his all. Like, he really enjoyed playing this character. And he gave everything. And that's why I think whenever he says it's the end, I think it truly is the end. I think he went out the way he wanted to go out in these films. And that's why I think no amount of money would convince him to come back. Now, I think
he liked the way it ended.
A great script, possibly, or some reason to come back.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to get into those rumors that if Wolverine was in the Marvel Universe, he'd play the character, because I don't even know where that started. I never once read a real quote from Hugh that he ever said that.
So,
you know?
Like a 70-year-old one?
Yeah.
Because that's about how long it'll take before Marvel
will get
that
franchise
back.
Yeah, I never read a real quote that he ever said that, so I think that's just bullshit. Mm-hmm. But, I think his legacy of this character is an amazing one. He's played Wolverine longer than anyone's ever played James Bond. I think I read somewhere the only other longer tenured would be the Star Trek crew. Those people played those characters for, you know, many years.
And many films. Yeah.
That's the only other one. You know, it's William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, those guys that played those characters for so many films and TV episodes. They're the only ones that have beat him. I mean, 17 years and 10 films, he's played the same character. And it's amazing. And I don't think anyone will top it.
No.
Yeah. And you brought up his playing that role. You watch some of the other, like, watch all the movies that he's in as Wolverine. And he's the only one that doesn't feel like they called it in. Like, he is spot on with his character every single time. Like, that's almost like an alternate ego of his now.
Mm-hmm. And when he was cast, there was controversy. People were like, who's this guy from Australia that no one's heard of? He was a song and dance guy known for Broadway and Australian plays and things like that. Mm-hmm. And people were really like...
We know the internet's stupid.
It was just as bad as when Michael Keaton was cast as Batman. People were like, who?
Mr. Mom.
Yeah, you know.
Technically, the internet wasn't back then, but if there was,
there was a lot of backlash on Hugh Jackman, but Hugh Jackman's backlash was different, mostly because people didn't know who he was.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't originally cast. People forget that Dougray Scott was originally cast as Wolverine, but he got hurt filming Mission Impossible 2 in one of the motorcycle scenes. And so they were already waiting for Dougray Scott to finish filming MI2. Because filming went over a little bit. So they were filming around Wolverine. They were going to film other scenes and then bring him in. Then when he got hurt and he was going to be out another 6 to 8 weeks, they recast it. So they called Hugh back up and said, hey, bring this guy back in. He wasn't the original choice. People forget about that. And Dougray Scott's somewhere sitting now thinking, man, because what has he done since? You know, I mean, I can't even think of anything we've seen him in, you know, where Hugh Jackman went on to worldwide superstardom.
Yeah.
You know, a whole
bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, he got
stuff.
To look at Halle Berry's boobs and swordfish.
That's yeah. All, yeah. And he had and because to get he got to look at her boobs hacking and swordfish, a computer.
We did too.
Yep. And now his career is taking off. I mean, he hosted the Oscars. He's won a Tony Award. He's made some great films. The Prestige, The Fountain, some really good movies.
He's appeared on the tattoo show, Ink Master. Right. And they actually had to do a special where it's like two people chose to draw Wolverine, and he was just like, he had so many good things to say about Wolverine and his character and how much he enjoyed playing
Wolverine.
He's
that actor that is just, you love to love him, you love to hate, because he seems just like such a perfect guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I've read people who have compared his career to Tom Cruise in some ways. Yeah, his career got started a little bit later than Tom Cruise, because we all know that he was started back in the 80s and he was a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. But like people say he's like just that Hollywood nice guy that everyone loves and everyone enjoys being around, and he makes good films. You know, and who knows if Hugh had been discovered earlier how his career would have gone.
Oh yeah.
You know, and but his career is a lassie one, and let's get into Logan. You know, before we get into our favorite Wolverine moments, I think Logan was the Wolverine film we wanted all this time. I don't care about the continuity. I know people are like, where does it fit in the timeline? Who cares? I just take this for a film that I enjoyed the hell out of. And I think it's a top two or three comic book movie ever made. I really do. I don't think it's better than The Dark Knight. Because I think The Dark Knight, one day we're going to walk out of a theater and we're going to know, hey, that was better than The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot. But for now, that's still the standard for a comic book film. But I think this is right up there. I could almost put it at number two behind The Dark Knight. I think I
just rate it as my favorite X-Men,
it's absolutely,
Logan, Wolverine,
it's absolutely
all the universe.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely the best X-Men film made. No doubt about
anything
that.
Done by 20th Century
yeah.
Well,
with these characters.
It's the last, right now, it's the last X-Men film in the timeline. Because Apocalypse.
Well, right.
Took
yeah,
place
this is supposed to be towards the end.
X1.
Right, but I'm just talking about.
Oh, no, I get
the
that.
Way
I get
the
that.
Story. I had every of those movies, there were things that I nitpicked at and nitpicked at.
You can't
I
nitpick
walked
at anything.
And there was nothing. There was nothing I had a problem with.
And I
like
how they.
Seriously.
When watching it again, they do allude to the old man Logan storyline, because when Stewart is saying, "What did you do? What did you do?" and like all horrified, it makes me feel like. Maybe Logan did kill the X-Men in this storyline, like some of them, maybe. The ones at the mansion.
I was pretty close. They pretty straightforward allude that it's Xavier who does it.
Yeah,
it
basically
film.
When he had his first seizure, that he killed everybody, and Logan was the only one that could withstand
like I said,
it. And that's why Logan drugged him, pardon spoilers. That's why Logan
kept
him
drugged.
Oh, yeah,
we're going to spoil the shit out of the film.
That's why Logan kept him drugged, so that he wouldn't remember it. And
right. It's very, very loosely based on old man Logan.
Kind of like how Texas Chainsaw Massacre is
based
on
a very loose
story.
Legend, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, of a guy cutting his arm off and eating it for lunch.
Well, several legends.
Yes, several.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like four Texas legends all in one.
Yeah.
But anyway, but yeah, it's this film is just, from start to finish, it's visceral. It's not always happy.
No.
It has moments where of levitivity where, you know, that. But then it brings you back down to this horrifying reality of the world around Logan and how dark and twisted his world is and how living a life so long, over 100 years, of how much he's seen. He's just ready. I mean, this is not a happy Logan. He's drinking. He's
dying.
He's dying from poison from the adamantium. He wants it to all end.
Yeah,
he doesn't
care anymore.
Yeah, he even talks about committing suicide. I like that he kept the adamantium bullet, you know, even though I hate the fact that they used the bullet in Origins to make him forget things. It still was a nice nod that the other films existed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he's still also the man inside him is still willing to do what it takes to do the right thing. And that's why he doesn't want to protect this little girl. Because it's falling, he's just trying to get by the boat and get the hell out to Dodge with Xavier and Caliban. Mm-hmm. But yet he doesn't want to. He's not gonna let her die either, because he's still that part of him still wants to do the right thing, and he trusts in Charles completely still. And Charles tells him, "No, we have to help her," you know. And it's almost like if you go back to the original X-Men film when Charles took Wolverine in and he cracks the jokes about, you know, what's your name, Wheels and all that, to this guy that he doesn't trust, doesn't know, to a father figure in a lot of ways in this film. And you were going to say something, Frank?
Yeah, and I don't know. I could be. I see them continuing with this storyline after it takes place with these kids. Because what was the point in the scene where all the bodies were laid out on the table? And he's like, save, preserve this one because he has the ability to sniff out mutants.
Yep.
Like he was wanting to make a clone of them. Why would they even bring that up if it wasn't for the fact that they might use that in a future film that takes place after this? Okay. Why even bring that up? They could have just totally cut that whole scene out because other than that point of them pointing out that he has the ability to sniff out mutants, that scene was completely irrelevant to the entire movie.
Have we seen the last of an X-Men film? I don't think so.
But well, with the X-Men that we know, it could be these all new kids, these new mutant kids, could be the next storyline that they want to go with. They could say, hey, we're done with these X-Men mutant characters. We want to start a whole new franchise and make it fresh and new. And this way, maybe people aren't going to bitch as much with what we do with them.
It's hard to say. Well, right now we know they have an X-Force film in pre-production. They have a New Mutants film in pre-production and the follow-up to X-Men Apocalypse in pre-production. So it's hard to say where they're going next, but I'm not even worried about that at this point because at the moment I just really want to enjoy how well done Logan was and the fact that we got a Wolverine film. And the Wolverine, the movie before this one, this could have been that film. And James Mangold, who also directed that, has talked before how they really wanted to make a movie more like these lines, and the studio interfered a little bit more in the Wolverine.
Yeah.
And the Wolverine's really good for the first hour and a half. Then the whole last hour with the Silver Samurai, the whole inning was ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
it didn't make any sense. Sucking the adamantium out of it was weird. Yeah. It just was like, what the hell's going on here?
Chopping off his claws. You know?
But the first hour and a half of that film was like the bullet train and stuff. There's some really good sequences in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And James Mangold, as a director, has made some really good films. He made 310 to Yuma, the remake, which is really good. He did Walk the Line, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a solid director. And speaking of both those doing 310 to Yuma, Logan almost felt like a modern Western. You know, and they allude to that in the movie where they're watching Shane. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys said y'all haven't seen Shane, but Shane is Logan's story. He's a gunfighter who wants to move on and raise his family and just be done with it all and tries to walk away from it, but he can't.
And that's won't let him.
It's very much a allegory for what's going on in Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a nice nod in the middle of that film that not everyone may have gotten when they're sitting there watching the movie in the hotel room. And
clip from the end of the movie.
Yeah, and people, there were a couple of people that didn't understand why the X-Men comics exist in this. I actually read that. Did people not understand, just like in our world, going back to the cowboy movies, you know, cowboys were legends in the late 1800s and stuff. Billy the Kid and all these cowboys and things. And people created Jesse James. They created these stories about them. They wrote books about these cowboys back in the day. Early comic books had cowboys in them. Cowboys and Indians.
Yep. Before there were superheroes.
Yes, exactly. This is very much like that. In this real world setting where the X-Men exist, because we know they exist because they've been exposed to the world, people are going to make stories about them and legends. And it makes perfect sense why the comics exist. I didn't find it hokey or silly.
Yeah.
I can see how years later that, you know, these characters have become legends in the real world. And, and I thought it was a perfect... tie-in with the story.
No, I agree. I totally thought the comic books fit in with that universe because it's not like, it's like you said, they would have created comic books. You know, heck, they've created NFL comic books, I believe. Exactly. You know, and took in characters from the Chicago Bears and stuff and made them like superhero type characters.
I sent you and Mark that Nolan Ryan comic book
I have a J.J. Watt comic that was given away a couple years ago. I have by Gatorade. I have it.
Yeah, so see.
It's just everything about this film I liked so much. The only thing that kept it from me being almost perfect was the villains were a little uninteresting. Okay, the Reavers who work, you know, which are the cyborgs that work for the Doctor, which is some of that is taken from Wolverine comics.
Mm-hmm.
Just like where they were kind of your typical thugs, even though they were cyborgs.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely understand that this film isn't about the villains, whereas in The Dark Knight, it's as much about the Joker as it is about Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like Wolverine maybe deserved a little bit stronger villain for his outgoing performance.
I thought we were going to see Mr. Sinister.
A lot of people did. And then X-24, his clone, could have been that guy. But I don't think he was underused, but you used the point that they made him so fucking badass that the real Logan couldn't stand a chance against him.
Yeah.
You know, because he's so beat down from the poison stuff. He whoops his ass. And what I found as sad of a scene as the ending of the film was when he come in, they wipe out this innocent family.
Yeah.
And that was just horrifying, you know, because here he are, they have this normal night. Charles even says it. That's the best normal night we've had in a long time. And then this whole family is just horrifyingly murdered by the Reavers. And
they weren't murdered by the Weavers. They were murdered by
X-24. I just clued them all in that group. And then he just kicks the shit out of Logan left and right. And somehow, didn't the little girl drive the truck?
No.
That's why they captured the father drives the truck. The little girl they had captured at that point.
His wound.
We haven't even gotten to X-23. We're going to talk about her in a minute. Yeah. And so Wolverine gets his ass kicked, somehow finds a way to get out of there alive. At the end of the film, X-24 is kicking his ass again, and that's when X-23 comes along and shoots him in the head and saves Logan, mm-hmm. even though X-24 at that point did do Logan in. And X-23, man, this girl, the actress' name is Daphne Fleen, or I can't remember her last name. She was really good.
Yeah.
For, you know, child actresses and actors, sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. And she put it to Hugh Jackman straight up. She had the looks, the snarl on her face. She's like, I'm going to be as tough as you. And, man, she was badass.
I compare it to seeing Hit Girl come out and killing people for the first time. It was that exhilarating for me. Just see a little girl flipping around, kicking butt.
Yeah. I think
and
so.
They didn't give her no cheesy lines.
But I think, no cheesy lines, though.
Yeah, I think Chloe Moretz, though, had already had a bit of a career by the time she did Hit Girl. Right. This girl, for like a first-time actress, did a really great job. And you actually believe she was whooping these bigger men's asses.
Yeah.
And I love the scene where she walks out after you hear the noises in the hideout, and she walks out and just rolls ahead. It's like, wow, she's really tough.
I like in that fight scene when they're dragging her, and her foot claw comes out, she just does that split upwards kick right into that dude's face.
And she did a great job, and the fact that, you know, she's somewhat a daughter to Logan because she was cloned after him.
Well, she wasn't really cloned. I mean, she was carried like a baby.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing.
But they used his DNA to create
But all the males failed. And so that's why they made a female.
Now, my question is, did they color her entire bones with aluminium or just her claw parts? In the x-ray, I couldn't tell because the guy at work thought maybe it was just her claws that they covered in it and not her entire bone structure.
Who knows?
It's a good question.
But the whole way they were born, that part might be the only bit confusing part because, like, in the end of Apocalypse where they take the blood of Wolverine, they allude to the cloning process because in the comics, she's clearly a clone.
Yes.
So I guess you could take it for both ways. But even if she's grown in a belly, she's still essentially a clone.
Yeah, she's a
because she's
clone.
Cloned from his DNA and they just changed the chromosome.
Just not the way that we
basically, they didn't take sperm and put it in an egg.
Yeah. And, you know, and if they do make another film that takes place after Logan and we see more of her, I'm okay with that. I think it would be cool. But, we'll see where they go from there. But overall, man, this movie, just it's not exactly a super happy film. It's we already kind of told you. I mean, it's definitely Logan dies. I mean, we already spoiled a lot of the film. I'm going to tell you. So does
Xavier dies.
Xavier dies. Mm-hmm. It's not happy, but it's redeeming in so many ways because the movie is a lot about a gunfighter wanting to end it and redeeming himself, and Logan finds that peace at the end because he knows he did one last thing to save this kid that is his daughter, and he even says it right before he dies. So that's what that feels like. He gets that moment of humanity back at the end.
I forgot what was the symbolism for burying him by the water, both Xavier and Wolverine. Do you remember? Because Logan says something about burying.
I don't remember.
Xavier, he said by the water.
Well, I know Charles liked the water,
right? So and that's why they buried him by the water.
They were trying to find a boat,
right?
You know.
And how cool is it at the end where she turns across into an X?
Yes, yeah. that was cool.
Just like a moment there, like just a moment, you know.
And Mark teared.
And no, I, really, we're gonna go back on that,
yeah?
Because no, I really didn't cry.
So he says.
And if people do cry in movies, so what?
See, that means he
didn't get to. No, I really didn't.
So what?
I actually really didn't cry at this one. I'm just but I'm mad enough to admit that I cried when I saw American Sniper. Because if you didn't cry watching American Sniper, then fuck you, you're not American.
Exactly. That's right. Hell yeah. Bastard terrorist.
And in the Wolverine, man, is such a iconic character, and he's not one of our earlier characters like Spider-Man. So he came along in the late 70s, and he's come so far so fast, and as ideally one of the top five superheroes ever created, and people love him. And Logan might be his shiny moment ever in film. My other favorite moments are obviously when he goes berserk in X-Men 2 and saves the kids in the mansion. Yes. That's a fantastic moment.
But I think he goes more berserk in this movie.
Because of the medicine. But yeah.
No, I'm just talking about the actual violence in this one. Like, in the other ones, you didn't really see the...
With the cholos, whenever those cholos were still in his rims.
Because they were so worried about keeping all the other ones, like, a PG. Well, yeah. All but you saw was, like, just swing his arms around and
stab
somebody in the gut.
But
this was, like... Full blades through the face.
You know what's amazing about this film, though? And I don't mind that it was rated R, but this movie's story was so good, it could have worked and not been rated R. And I really think this storyline was that good. Because when you think about it, and I'm not being a prude here or anything, but what does the violence add to this movie? Nothing. Because the story is so fantastic. The only part where the violence really adds to the film is the farmhouse scene, because it's so brutal when the family dies, and you feel the brutality of it. But the rest of it, I mean, do you not agree? This movie could have been just as good without the R rating.
Oh, yeah.
Storyline, yes, but the action part, no.
But really, there's not, you know, as funny as there's not a ton of action in this. There's maybe three solid scenes. The beginning where they escape the hideout, the farm, and the end. The other than that, there's a couple of smaller action scenes in it. You know, the hotel room where he has to stop him in the hotel in the very beginning. So there's really three major action pieces and two smaller ones. It's really more about the character and their drive to escape whatever they're trying to escape, you know. I haven't wanted to see a movie twice in theaters in a long time. I probably still won't see Logan twice in theaters. It's just not the way my schedules and times work. Mm-hmm. But I really want to see this again very soon.
Yeah, me too.
And I really, really loved it. And I'm sad to see Hugh Jackman go, you know.
Yeah.
It's whoever plays his part next, I think, is going to fail. I just don't see – I mean – there's just – how do you replace him? And I hope they don't do it for a while. I'd love to see 20th Century Fox give a 4 or 5 year break to Wolverine. There's a lot of great X-Men characters, you know.
Use some characters that you haven't used.
Gambit, Rogue.
Gambit, as long as it's not Channing Tatum. Fuck no, I don't want Channing Tatum playing Gambit.
Nah.
You know, I think Gambit, you need a sassy young person. I would go unknown with Gambit. Yeah. Like you did with Hugh. I actually didn't have a problem with Taylor Kitsch's Gambit in Origins, but, you know, I thought he was fine in the role.
Yeah.
You know, but they obviously moved on from that. But just not Channing fucking Tatum. Not Magic Mike, people, please. God damn it. I'm going to be so pissed off if they make a Gambit movie with him.
You know? Can you imagine our foe blowing up if they announced that?
Well, you know, I think the movie that he was going to do, you know, he was going to play him, but I think it's falling apart now from the looks of it. But yeah, you're right. No, there's so many great X-Men characters they could tell stories of. You know, I mean, that's what I know. I knock on Deadpool. It's not my favorite film, but I'm excited just for fucking Cable and Deadpool too.
Yeah,
I think Cable's a great character. Okay, I think Bishop's a great character, which we only got to see a little bit of in Days of Future Past.
I love Bishop. One of my dogs after Bishop.
Havoc is a great character, which we did get in First Class, but then they killed him off in Apocalypse. You know, a lot of great. I mean. Cyclops is a really cool character, which, you know, they brought back again in Apocalypse and all that, you know, so some great characters in the X-Men universe they can use. And I love Wolverine, but I just think give it a little bit of a break for now and let Hugh's legacy kind of breathe. And I almost say it like Hugh Jackman died. He didn't die, but the Logan that we know it died, you know, and everything. And it's sad to see him go, but, you know,
I wouldn't mind some one-off storylines. In the Marvel Universe.
You mean the X-Men universe?
The X-Men, Marvel,
the 20th Century Fox Marvel Universe.
Yes.
You know who I'm thinking?
Or even with the crap that Disney has. Even the stuff Wolverine. That Disney has.
That's actually a good question. If you could recast Wolverine, who would you pick?
Tom Hardy.
See, I think Tom Hardy's the easy choice. I like him.
Yeah.
But I think he's the easy choice. It's safe the choice. Easy, safe choice. Because Tom Hardy can do anything.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I think he's a good enough actor. He can play Bond. He can play Captain Kirk. He can play a Jedi. I mean, really, Tom Hardy really could. He's that good of an actor, and he doesn't get the notice because he's not a Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's not on TV all the time doing interviews. He's not an ass kisser. But the guys.
So you're saying Hugh Jackman's an ass kisser?
No.
I was just trying to clarify.
But Hugh Jackman's more likable. Tom Hardy's not that likable guy. You know, he's anti-establishment. You know, but he's a safe choice. I don't know if I have a pick. That was a tough question to ask. Just to recast. I think if you go unknown with the next Wolverine, you're going risky because you went unknown once already, and you're asking somebody that named Fred Johnson on the street to come in and step into Hugh Jackman's shoes. That's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
So maybe you need someone who's slightly known, you know, but not well known. Do you have anybody on top of your head, Frank? Anything?
No.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's kind of like, oh, who would we redo Indiana Jones? Who would we redo this character or that character? It's hard to see anybody else really playing those characters.
Yeah. I mean, the easiest one to always recast is James Bond because we're used to someone playing Bond over the years.
A thing. Yeah.
But iconic characters like Indiana Jones or Luke Skywalker. Or, you know, it's very tough. For a long time, it was very tough to recast Superman until we got used to more people playing him.
Yeah.
You know, everyone saw Christopher Reeve for so many years. And that's going to be very hard to recast Wolverine with today's actor. Now, I can think of probably three or four actors from years ago that could have played Wolverine, you know. But now it's a little harder with today's because you just don't know who's going to be that next star.
Mm-hmm. Or they have the stamina.
Yeah.
It's like, they're going to do 1, 2, 3 films and then call it quits. I mean, and
that's another thing, going back to Hugh. He put it into the film every time over 10 years. He worked out for it. He got in shape for it.
Yep.
For 52, I think he's 49, 50. I'm not sure how old he is.
He has been taking steroids.
Not necessarily.
He's a health nut, dude.
He's been in more.
And Days of Future Past, dude, he looked jacked.
Yeah, but yeah, did you see his workout regime for that?
No.
Insane, man. But he was like working out every day. I mean, he's 48 years old. He won't be 49 until October.
But think about it. He's played that character in every movie they've had of Wolverine. They haven't had the same actors pretty much in every movie playing the same character. They've either had an older or younger Xavier, older or younger this guy, and two different actors playing the part. He's always been Wolverine in every single movie. There hasn't been a younger or an older Wolverine, different actor playing the part. It's always been him. You know, think about it.
The clone was definitely him, huh?
Yeah.
Blacked his hair, they used a little CGI to thin his face up.
No, I don't think they did anything.
I think they used a little CGI.
I think they did this. I think, really, he worked his ass off. They shot the scenes where he was at the hype of his regimen routine.
Oh, no, I agree.
And then he went off the diet and shot the old man parts.
The body part, yes. But I think in the face.
Even the face, man. When you lose. Dude, if you and I lost weight, we would have skinnier faces.
It's not the skinnier face. It's the bags from his age and things like that. They had to go in and fix some of that.
No, are they? There's thing called, special makeup and stuff that they can do.
The reason why I think they use some CGI on it is because most of the clone scenes are in the dark, or they're really fast moving. And when you do that, when you're doing that, you're trying to cover up, things. Yeah. What's funny is during the end scene in the woods, did you notice before he takes the medicine, he's all huffing and puffing and you kind of see some jello rolling around up there? The obviously he takes the medicine, he's all cut
That's what I'm talking about. They shot certain scenes when he was all worked out and then certain scenes that they went back after he said, okay, I can have some pizza now.
he's like, I'm going to have some soda and some kettle chips and some oily foods. Shoot this scene, because I know whenever it's out of my system, we'll film the next one.
Right. But man, if all I can say is, if anybody has any doubts about Logan, you haven't seen it yet, go see it, man. It's an incredible film.
Yeah, sorry if we ruined it for you and now telling you to go see it.
It's almost not a comic book movie.
No, it's not.
It almost isn't. Obviously, we're always going to call it a comic movie.
It transcends the comic book genre.
Yes, it's unlike any comic film. I don't think there's any other comic film like this.
No.
In the 50-plus comic films we've had in the last 15, 20 years, I don't think anything is like this. It's completely different than anything that's come before. And that's what makes it kind of – it almost gives me a refreshing feel for the genre in hopes that we'll get more stuff like this. And it's a better film than Deadpool, that's for fucking sure.
Yes, it is a better film than Deadpool.
Yeah.
All you Deadpool fanboys out there. And it's simply the best X-Men film made. There's no doubt about that. And I still think it's a top two or three comic movie ever. I think it's right up there with The Dark Knight, Spider-Man 2, Winter Soldier, Superman the movie, the original Christopher Reeve, mm-hmm. 1989 Batman. It's right up there with those classic comic book films. And I think this has the ability to be a classic comic book film in the next several years. You know, I don't know, maybe I jumped the gun a little bit there putting Winter Soldier in classic films, but I think over time Winter Soldier will hold up very well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, that's a whole, it's going to be time on the website soon to do another complete top 25 comic film update, because it's been so many new ones, and I did one several years ago, and it wasn't the best list I ever did. I had Green Lantern in the top 25 and stuff, I took some flack for it, you know, so mm-hmm. I maybe that's a list to update again. Man, any other thoughts on Logan?
My
favorite Wolverine moments, I said in the films. I think Logan as a film is my number one favorite moment. The Berserker Rage in part two, and then the bullet train sequence in the Wolverine. I think those are some of my favorite moments. A couple of y'all's favorite moments besides Logan?
Yeah, I want to say I almost like the forest scene better in Last Stand when he's trying to find his way. And I just feel like, you know, he has to face one mutant and he's still clawing through people. But what's his...
Only Matt would pick a scene from arguably probably the worst X-Men film.
No, Origins is the worst X-Men film.
I think they're... I actually think Last Stand and Origins are pretty level.
You know?
I really do. I think they're pretty level in their badness.
Maybe. You know?
Last Stand maybe gets a slight edge because of that Wolverine scene, but yeah, I don't know.
Just from that Wolverine scene?
Yeah.
I actually, like, and that's where it is. Gene one of Gray my hits on him. One of my favorite scenes is in the Wolverine... is when he's in Japan and the nuke goes off and he throws that guy in the hole and then he just like covers him up and you just see like his flesh burning off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the guy, once his skin starts healing back, the guy realizes what he is. I like that scene.
Yeah, the Wolverine was a really good movie until the last 30 minutes. It really is. It's mm-hmm. a solid film. And so, man, it's going to be different when we move on and someone else plays the Wolverine in a few years. But until then, we have Hugh Jackman. We have 10 great Hugh Jackman performances. And regardless of whether the X-Men films, some of them are better than others.
Whether the scripts were good or not, he was
great in all 10 films. And I will say 9 films because the first class cameo is a stretch for saying he was, you know,
yeah.
He was in 10 films. You know, because
but he didn't dial it in.
No.
He
gave 100% to us. Fuck off.
Yeah. Yep.
And, man, not a whole lot else to be said, man. Just enjoy this film if you haven't gone to see it. Logan is fantastic. It right now, we're only in March, it's the best film of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be some interesting conversations come up at the end of the year when we pick our movie of the year. I think this one's definitely going to be in that conversation.
Let's not lie, we'll probably pick Star Wars again.
Beauty and the Beast is coming up this weekend.
Yeah, right, give me that.
It's Leviosa.
No one cares.
Leviosa. Well, it's Emma Watson.
No one cares.
It's Emma Watson.
It is Emma Watson.
We have King Kong before that.
King Dong?
It comes out this Friday.
Did you say King Dong?
No.
Oh.
I'm surprised we didn't get a Hugh Jackman out of Matt the entire show.
Did you say Hugh Jackman?
See, I knew he'd get excited. I haven't downloaded anything this week, so we'll skip download this.
I've been playing Street Fighter still, and I'm sorry, I did say it was.
I haven't really watched anything on Netflix, so
I just watch stuff on Netflix.
Yeah, so we'll skip that for next show. But man, until then, that's all I've really got today. We hope you enjoyed our review of Logan and listening to it. We thank you for listening. And if you do us a favor, go on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and leave us a review. All the links are up on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com, where to find all those if you can't. And thank you, as always. This has been the Rebel Radio Podcast, and in the studio is the dynamic trio of
Frank T. Biscuit,
Matt the Electric Monkey,
and this is Mark, your hostess with the mostess. Wait, I would be a host, not a hostess.
Hostess.
I just call myself a girl. That's
weird. You called yourself a cupcake.
I think he's more of a ding-dong.
Until then, we aren't quite Wolverine, so we're not the best at what we do. We're damn good doing it or whatever it is that he says, but we sure as hell try. Bub.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.